When you visit a state as big and diverse as Texas, there are a million different trips you can take. Let's say you've got an appetite for whitewater kayaking. You can get your own.
So this is why they call it Devil's River.
Trip to Texas. Or maybe you have an actual appetite. I'll take a pound of brisket, 6 ribs, 3 links of sausage, and a piece of pecan pie. Trip to Texas. Go to TravelTexas.com/get-your-own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, welcome to our new podcast, The Signal
and the Noise,
that will attempt to give you a peek into the inner workings of Mint's long stories. This is Sunit.
And I am Ajay.
And we are both editors with Mint. Welcome to this post-Diwali podcast. This is Sunit, and I have my colleague Mihir Dalal as a guest today. Mihir writes long stories about startups and India's internet economy. He's also the author of a well-regarded book on Flipkart called Big Billion Startup. It's going to be made into a web series next year. From his perch in Bangalore, Mihir has been giving Mint's readers a bird's-eye view into the impact of COVID-19 on the startup economy, from telemedicine and groceries to B2B sites and the booming edtech space. Over the past year, Mihir has written many stories on Oyo. It has been a rocky ride for the hotel unicorn, which was already facing a reality check when its business model was being scrutinized after years of binging on easy capital. And then came COVID, which has knocked the bottom from the hotel and hospitality industry. Recently, Mihir wrote a piece about Oyo that hinted that things were not as bad as it seems for the company. Mihir also met the CEO, Ritesh Agarwal. Let's find out more from him.
Hi, Mihir. Good to have you on board on The Signal and the Noise.
It's great to be here, Sunil.
6 months ago, Mihir, you had done a story that said that Oyo was running out of room. That stage, the lockdown was still fresh in everyone's mind. Why do you feel that the hospitality sector and Oyo in particular is in a better place today?
So when we did that story, which was in April this year, there was this expectation of an apocalyptic scenario coming true. It was very difficult to see how Oyo would come out of this unscathed, and even Airbnb, which is kind of like an iconic hospitality startup, even they were forced to take a huge down round. And generally, it was just thought that it would take years for this pandemic to go away, and obviously that would impact travel and hospitality in a very negative way. But I think less than 9 months later, we've not seen that kind of apocalyptic scenario coming through. Certainly, travel and hospitality businesses have been hurt, but not to the extent that was believed. And most importantly, with so many vaccines being proven effective, hopes have been raised that, instead of taking years for the hospitality business to recover completely, it may now actually recover maybe perhaps even by the end of next year. People have are kind of sick and tired of sitting at home. So people have started traveling. And so this is, the scene looks better for Oyo right now than it did in April, not because of anything the company has specifically done, but more because the general
mood is good and people want to move out, and hospitality seems to be in a better situation. But when you said that, but earlier you had, in the piece you've written, and you said that, in most months starting June, Oyo has generated less than 25% of its pre-COVID monthly revenues in India. And on the other hand, Oyo says it has used the crisis to build a leaner firm with fat margins. Yeah. What's your analysis here?
One thing that we should be clear on is that while things haven't turned out as bad as some people had thought, things are still pretty bad for Oyo and for the hospitality industry. Like you said, Oyo's India business in most months since June, which is when the lockdown ended, has been below 25%. Even in October, when there was a sharp pickup, it was still less than 35% of its pre-COVID numbers. And even in most international markets, in fact, yeah, I think apart from US, in all other international markets, OYO is not has not recovered to its pre-COVID levels. So certainly, things are quite bad for OYO in terms of revenues and demand. But OYO has used this crisis to, reduce a lot of costs. So especially they've cut thousands of jobs. They're trying to, replace a lot of manual activities like checking up on hotels, doing the reconciliation with hotel suppliers and a bunch of other things like resolving hotel queries or customer queries. They've tried to turn a lot of these manual activities into technology-led solutions. So, for instance, they have chatbots now that handle a lot of customer and hotel queries. They use software to do reconciliation with hotels and a bunch of things. So that's what I meant, by saying that they've used this crisis to build a leaner firm. Now, of course, this will help them even after the pandemic ends, but we'll have to wait and see to what extent can they retain this kind of lean structure after the pandemic, because inevitably, when times are good and when business is growing, most companies, tend to become less vigilant about costs. So yeah, we'll have to see, but certainly they have used this crisis to build a leaner company.
So what's the mood amongst OYO's top management and the staff? I mean, what are you picking up there?
It's a bit of a mixed bag over there, gone through a roller coaster, even in terms of their own expectations. So I think while the world was expecting a very bad scenario in April, May, June, OYO wasn't as pessimistic. Even as late as June, a lot of their executives had believed that OYO would bounce back very quickly. I mean, probably even before the end of the year, because, I mean, if you recall, till June, COVID was pretty much, an urban phenomena. It hadn't spread very widely. So at that time, many OYO executives believed that, demand would return very quickly in India and perhaps even in other international markets, because by June, the first wave of COVID infections had kind of started easing off in places like London, New York, etc. But obviously, by August, they knew that this is going to be there for a long time and this is not going to go away anytime soon. So then, they started planning for the worst. But then again, all these vaccine announcements coming and also with summer travel in the West picking up in a big way, they were more optimistic. So, so it's a bit of a mixed bag. I would say right now, they are really praying that the vaccines are rolled out as quickly as possible and, travel and hospitality bounces back. But I think it's fair to say that, this is beyond their control now, in the sense that what happens to the hospitality industry will, to a large extent, determine OYO's, immediate future.
All those job cuts would have also affected Poral. It must be quite tense out there. And you've also written there's an expectation for further job cuts also, haven't you?
Yeah. So OYO had some 25,000, 30,000 plus employees 1 year ago and globally. Right now they have less than 10,000, which is a huge cut. For any company to deal with. So that has certainly affected employee morale. In fact, many employees believe that it was not just the job cuts that were bad, but also the way in which OYO communicated and handled the communication of these cuts to employees that was not great. So certainly, employee morale has been affected. And there is a possibility of further cuts simply because demand is just not going to return anytime soon to pre-COVID levels because in the West, in many countries, you're seeing a huge second or third wave and that will take at least 3-4 months to abate So over there, there's no chance of demand bouncing back to 100% of pre-COVID levels. In India also, we are seeing, while COVID infections have declined, many people are still wary of travel. Even if they are traveling, they're not traveling with the same frequency as they were before. And we don't even know if there's going to be a second wave or a third wave. I mean, we're all seeing how bad the third wave is in Delhi. So that is replicated across the country. I mean, you know, that is obviously going to spell disaster for the hospitality industry. So basically, yeah, in short, there is no possibility of demand returning to 100% levels anytime soon, which means that OYO will have to continue to cut costs in order to conserve cash.
Okay. You've also talked about its China business, which has been badly hit, of course. That's going to take some time to bounce back, right?
Yeah, that's right. So I think in China, you know, this is a market that had such high hopes for OYO because it's such a huge market. OYO believed that because of the backing of Masason, they would have an in that market. But, you know, it just hasn't worked out that way. Their China business has been dogged by a variety of problems like, you know, rampant fraud, a lot of angry hotel suppliers, inconsistent kind of availability on the consumer side because they had a bunch of problems early on, you know, getting accepted by the largest OTAs over there. So it's just been, one problem after another for them. I think they had believed finally that at the end of last year, they had resolved a lot of these issues. But, then the pandemic came in China and hit a lot of businesses there. But I think even if, you know, the pandemic hadn't happened, there was this, you know, there's this geopolitical situation between India and China that, really casts a very long shadow over OYO's China operations. I think, again, in China, it's largely out of their control as to, you know, what the fate of their business is, because India has obviously banned so many Chinese apps. Now, the threat of the Chinese government doing something similar to Indian companies operating in China is always going to be there. It's just looking like a very, very bad bet by OYO to go so aggressive in China, where they have invested hundreds of millions of dollars.
Mm. Okay, finally, what about Ritesh's control over the firm if its valuation takes a hit? He's taken a $2 billion loan to fund an increase in his stake. So what happens to all of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, over there as well, it's very difficult to know what exactly the dynamics are, because the $2 billion loan that Ritesh took to finance his purchase of OYO shares, that was backed by Masason, and, we just don't know what will happen if OYO's valuation declines, because many of the OYO early investors have cashed out at least part of their holdings. So the two parties which are at highest risk are, Ritesh and SoftBank. The terms of the loan aren't clear. Ritesh has said publicly that there's no margin call on the loan. So even if OYO's valuation declines, it's not as if he's going to have to put up other collateral immediately. So he has that, comfort. But still, like long term, it's looking increasingly doubtful if OYO will be able to maintain its $10 billion valuation, at least say over a 2-3 year period. The valuation falls below $10 billion. At some point, questions are going to be raised about Ritesh's leadership and whether it's time to bring in a professional CEO. But so far, the company has been very clear that there is no such prospect being discussed by its investors, and Ritesh is firmly in control. And, Ritesh himself has spelled out how he has strengthened his management team, hiring a lot of high-profile leaders in positions like head of South Asia and India, or, head of China, etc. So I think he believes he has, already kind of let professionals run a lot of the day-to-day business, and he is focusing on more strategic aspects. So he believes that he's already kind of, professionalized the management of OYO to a large extent, and there's no need then for a professional CEO. But again, we'll have to wait and watch, because if their valuation declines, and even if, say, over a 2-3 year period, they're not able to recover 210 billion and above, I mean, questions will be raised about Tabasha's leadership.
Fascinating, Mihir. There's one thing that this pandemic has taught us, that we don't know how what the future is going to bring. But as of now, Oyo remains the third most valuable internet company in India. Thanks, Mihir.
Yeah. And thanks, Sunit. It was great to be here.
And to those listening to this podcast, I hope it has helped you figure out this big story of our times. Do send your feedback. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to The Signal in the Noise, with me being The Signal, of course. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @HTSmartcast. Or you can also reach out to us personally
at Sunit Arora
and at AJ Axiom. To listen to more such interesting podcasts, do log on to htsmartcast.com. We'll be back next week with a new story and some awesome banter.
And lots of fun.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
When it comes to family vacations, there are a million different trips you can take. You can get your own trip to Texas. Or if you prefer a vacation from your family, you can always get your own leave the kids with grandma.
Yay!
Trip to Texas. So go to traveltexas.com/get your own for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.